Roberta Blevins, and this is Life After MLM, a podcast where we worked in the stigma of failure in an industry systemically designed for you to fail. Join us as we dive into the real life stories of survivors, experts, and advocates as we debunk the common myths and fallacies of cults, frauds, scams, and multi-level marketing. Hey, Hunbots and Hunbros, we've got a fun episode today. We are going back into the world of MLM with one of our Discord members, Curtis Waldron. You might know him as Kurt Wald. He is in there and we have such a fantastic time in all of the watch parties, and he is such just a beloved member of the Discord. So for everybody over in the Discord, the episode is here. It's Curtis's episode. We're so excited. We have been teasing it for like weeks. Talking about, especially like when Kayla was editing it and she would like throw some sneak peeks in, and then when I was editing it, and it was just, it is hilarious. It's just a really good time. One of the funniest episodes I think we've ever had on Life After MLM. This episode shows the ridiculous of multi-level marketing just so perfectly. And I know sometimes after we have heavy episodes like Scientology, although Mark and Claire's episode was pretty light and fun too, sometimes you just gotta laugh, right? So you don't cry or pull your hair out. And I think this is one of those perfect episodes that just really proves what it's like to go through this, to get out, to heal, and to be comfortable with poking fun at the ridiculousness of what we've all participated in. So if you have ever been in an MLM, if you've ever gone to a retreat or a convention or had to deal with any of the drama and the ridiculousness that comes along with that, this is your episode. So get your popcorn, get your foofy coffee, get your snacks, get your drinks, get whatever you need to get all comfy, because you're going to laugh. You are going to laugh a lot in this episode. This might not be a great, like, getting ready to go to bed episode. I'd also like to welcome our newest kidnapper to the Patreon, Janelle Stewart. Thanks so much for joining. Anyway, I hope you enjoy this episode as much as we enjoyed creating it. There are no content warnings other than this is what it looks like when Huns go on vacation. Enjoy. Welcome back to another episode of Life After MLM. We are going to have a fun time today. I can already tell because in our little pre-chat, we're already laughing and having a hilariously good time. I'm just going to introduce you to the show and we're going to get into your story. Please welcome Curtis Waldron to the show. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. I'm really excited to talk to you. We're already having a good time. And I was like, we just got to hit record because we're losing precious content. Yes. Making these jokes without hitting record. That happens more often than you guys would expect, but whatever. So let's talk about the MLM that you were a part of, and that's Sensi.
Yes.
Oh. So we'll start at the beginning. Where were you when you joined? What was going on in your life? What year was it? Set the stage.
So it was 2020 during COVID. One of my really good friends that has been in multiple MLMs wanted me to have a party for her. So I said, sure. Well, my party was like super successful. I sold her like over $1,000 worth of stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So she like convinced me, you know, like, well, you can sign up for free and we can get you this and this, and like, I'll give you this party group, which obviously all these people are buying for you. And so I was like, if it's free, why not try it? You know?
Now, was it free because she was going to cover the cost, or was it like just happened to be free that month or something?
So with my party host points, I could get a free kit.
Oh, party host points can cover the cost of joining. Look at that. Because I was going to say $1,000, that's a very successful Scentsy party, because Scentsy is a relatively inexpensive product unless you're buying their ridiculously overpriced warmers.
Right.
A bar of Scentsy is like $6 or so,
yeah,
right?
So it's not expensive. And so, yeah, I was selling to all my family and friends were buying it. I worked in an office, so all my coworkers were buying it. I was just successful without even trying.
Well, yeah. I mean, Scentsy is an attractive product. It has good scents. Their warmers are really cute. I don't care what anybody says. Like, that's what hooked me with Scentsy, too.
That's what got me in.
I spent so much money on Scentsy. It was not even funny. Their warmers are so cute. Their plug-in warmers, like the wall plug-ins, the regular big warmers. They have all these like different partnerships. They've done stuff with like Warner Brothers and Friends and Harry Potter and Disney. And we'll get into all of that later. But like, it's cute stuff in terms of, you know, something you're spending your money on that you don't really need.
Right.
And at the same time, like, Scentsy is smelly, right? It smells good. They have all these different flavors that you can get. And everybody's like, oh, my favorite was salted caramel cupcake. That was like my scent. It was my favorite. I had so many of it. I like was all, every order had like two bars or whatever of that in it. It was just, I just knew that that was my scent. And my ex-husband loved My Dear Watson. So like they were always in there, but I bought like the Christmas ones. I had the Christmas tree ornaments. The one that you like spray with this. I had the Christmas tree spray, the whole shebang. Scentsy got me hard. I'm surprised it didn't join, to be perfectly honest, but Scentsy got me hard. And so it's something that's really easily consumable. You're going through one of those little bricks in like less than a month. Makes your house smell good. You can have a warmer for every room. When people come over, oh my God, your house smells so good. Nobody is going to be like, I hate when that happens.
Right.
You want your house to smell good. And so it is a very easy product to sell just in general. I mean, take the MLM away and things to make your house smell good is a pretty easy thing. People are into that. So I could totally see you having a party for friends and family, just so much stuff being sold. And then you looking at this opportunity, seeing that for your hostess gifts, you can just join the company. It makes total sense to me.
Yeah.
I didn't even know they did that. I probably did, but I probably forgot. But that's wild. I wonder how many other MLMs you can buy your kit with your hostess.
Right.
I'm curious about that now.
Yeah, I don't even know. And I even got other stuff on top of it because I sold so much, because the host kit was only like $99 or whatever.
Wow.
I still got wax and everything.
Yeah. So you join. Do you hit the ground running?
Yeah, of course. So my upline, which was my friend, she eventually was like going through a divorce. So like she kind of just quit selling it. Just kind of took a break from everything. So they have like the three tiers when you first start, where if you sell this much, I think it's $1,000, then you automatically get 5% of commission. I hit that right away. The next one was like, sign up 2 people, sell this much, and you'll get this. So I ended up in like my first 4 months, I think it was 2 ranks I moved up.
Wow.
So I was already making like 30% compared to 20% commission. And then I already had a few people underneath me. Then they were like giving me people. And I was like, well, why did I get this person? I don't even know her. And someone was like, oh, it's probably just because your sales were so good. So I don't know if like my upline gave me that person or Scentsy gave me that person. But I started, now I just had a member I didn't even know. And it was just hard to keep up, though. It just kind of stalemated there.
Wow. Okay. So they saw that you were a rising star and they started stacking you.
Yes.
At what point, like how many people were underneath you when you sort of plateaued?
I think 4.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, not a huge team, but in terms of just doing this as a hobby where you just randomly had a party and you just randomly joined because it was free, like that's not too bad. It seems as if you were almost like a natural.
Yeah. And that's what they kind of told me I was. I got all the love bombing and the praising, like, oh, you're gonna go so far, like you're already hitting this and this. And I'm like, I'm eating it all up. Like, yeah, like I could see me making a lot of money doing this, not realizing like I'm making money off the people underneath me yet.
Right.
That's how you make a lot of money. But I didn't know that.
Well, I think a lot of times when you get into an MLM in the beginning, before you really know how it works, and you're just selling stuff and having parties and people are interested and hitting you up for, I want to try new wax, or I wanted to do this. It's really fun. And you start to think like, could I do this for a living? Like, if I could keep up this trajectory, I could really make some decent money working from home. But then you plateau.
Yeah. And so right as I was plateauing is when the trip was coming around.
Okay.
So during COVID, we have conventions every year. And they said, well, it's a virtual convention because it's not safe to gather in one place. So our upline planned this trip for us in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And they rented out this huge house. And we were all going to go there for, I think it was like 4 days. I think I paid $200 for my rental spot in the house, and that included food. And then obviously I would spend money to get my way down there. And then whatever I wanted to do while I was there would be on me as well.
Okay. So because COVID had shut everything down and they were going virtual with their conventions, which a lot of MLMs did during the pandemic, maybe not as many that should have, but a lot of MLMs decided to go virtual. Instead of sticking to the virtual, your upline, who your friend left, so you're now under somebody else.
Yeah.
How big of a team did that new upline have?
I wouldn't even know because I never even met the girl.
Oh.
Yeah, I reached out to her. She never responded back. But like the top person of our pyramid, she would reach out to me every now and again.
Okay.
But I didn't have like a direct person after my friend left to like go to.
Okay. So this new upline, what was her rank? Do you know?
I wouldn't even know because, yeah.
You didn't know anything.
Yeah.
And this is the person that's planning this event?
No. So our top person in the pyramid is planning this.
So the top, okay. So you get put under a team, under a completely new person who you have no idea. You've never met them. You have no contact with them.
Right.
The tippity top upline that's even above her.
Right.
Is the one that decides during COVID, we're still having a convention. Like, I'm not going to not have a convention.
Right.
We're going to Gatlinburg, which I was telling you, the only thing I know of Gatlinburg is I follow this comedian who makes like Appalachian jokes.
Right.
And he talks about how like Gatlinburg is like, the place to go. So I really have no idea about Gatlinburg. And then you brought it up and I was like, wait a second.
Yeah.
Is that like the place? And you were like, it has go-karts. I was like, yes, that's the place.
Yeah.
That's the place. So the tippity top mega hun, we'll just call her the mega hun. The mega hun of your team decides we're going to Gatlinburg. I'm renting out a huge Airbnb. Everybody's going to give me $200 for the weekend for a place to stay. And we're going to watch the convention together in Gatlinburg.
Exactly. So they even rented out a place in downtown Gatlinburg for us all to go to watch it.
Why couldn't you just watch it in the house where everybody already is?
Exactly. Because the house had a movie theater in it. I don't know. But
what?
Yeah. So I don't know why we didn't, but we ended up watching, because then that same weekend, I guess during every convention since he has, they show off the new products that are coming out. But that's on a separate day.
Right.
So that day we did stay at the house and watch those on the TV, but yeah, they rented out this whole place for like the main convention thing and they put it on the screen.
And how many people would you estimate came to the Mega Huns impromptu convention?
60 to 80, because there was people. So we're in Ohio and a lot of the people are from Ohio that were in my upline, but we have even people from Utah that are in our upline and they flew out for it.
Now, here's my next question. Did you have to purchase a convention ticket or was that convention showing included in the price of going to Gatlinburg?
No. So yeah, I did pay for a convention ticket as well, even though really one person could have paid it and played the videos.
Right.
But they didn't tell us that ahead of time. So yeah, we all bought a convention ticket so we could have access to it online, which is like $40, which was just crazy.
It is. It does seem a little extra considering that you're going beyond this mandate of, hey, we're not going to be together because of this pandemic that's raging outside. And your upline's like, no, we're still going to be together. And then you still have to buy a ticket, even though you're all watching it together on the same screen. At a secondary location, even though the house you rented had the facilities to do this.
Exactly.
It only makes me think like forcing you out of the house to go is less likely that you slip out and go back to your room or something. Like
right.
At a different location. So you like have to be present there. That's the only thing that I could think to add an additional step and to rent an additional room for that purpose.
Yeah, because it was super frowned upon if you did not go.
Oh, yeah.
Because me and another girl that I met there, we were like, we're going to go to dinner and get drinks before we go to this thing. Like, and we got some side eyes. And of course, we ran a little late because you can't, like, the restaurant took longer than what we thought. But like, we still showed up, but you could tell. And the whole time I was sitting there, I'm like, this is so boring. I just want to leave and go out here. They have shopping and bars and everything else. Like, why am I sitting here watching these stupid videos?
The other thing is, why bother even going to a place like Gatlinburg if you're going to basically force everybody to do exactly what you want to do the whole time? Why not go somewhere that's less tourist friendly to encourage less people to go out drinking and going to restaurants and doing things that aren't what you really would request them to do?
Exactly.
Like, why not just get a really nice house in Ohio where most of you are at anyway?
Right. I don't understand. I think they just, well, if we send them to some place that's fun, then more people are going to come probably. Even like on our downtime, they would like want to force us to get into circles and do these like training talks. But the training talks were never anything to help you. It was just trying to get more people. Like, there was never any like substance to their teachings.
So what else happened at that convention? Anything interesting aside from the convention stuff?
With the superstar director being there, everyone wanted her time, of course. You know, she was,
of course,
almighty, knows everything about Scentsy. And of course, she's like this very beautiful blonde girl, you know, has her husband, her kids, and her life looks perfect on Instagram. And like, so everyone wants to be like her, you know, make all the money in Scentsy, have a beautiful life, a perfect life. So it was just all the time they were like flooding around her. And there was just this one night I was in the hot tub and she decided to get in. Everyone was so excited. Oh, she's coming hot tubbing with us. And I'm like, great. Like, okay. So she gets in and then like 10 more people get in this hot tub and the water starts overflowing and they're just falling over her. And they think it's like the best thing ever. Like, they're in the hot tub with a celebrity. And I'm like, she's just a person from Midwest Ohio. Like, she lives nowhere. Like, she's not famous or anything. Like, she's just a normal girl, but anything she said was like everybody's eyes were just focused on her, and it was just, it felt very off-putting. And I remember there was a couple times I felt like I was being like scolded by her. If I was like having too much fun, then it was like, oh, you're not serious enough, you know, or oh, you shouldn't be doing that here. And it's just like, but you guys are also all drunk because they were drinking every day. It was just, it was a lot to deal with her, because she would love bomb you as well.
Yeah.
I remember a specific thing she told me while I was there, because I rode down with some girl that I didn't even know, but she lived close to me and they're like, oh, she's coming, you could ride with her. She's a very nice girl. But I remember when we were leaving, she, like, the superstar director pulled me aside, like, you know, she's not as serious as you are. So like, I know she says these things, but just don't listen to her because her business goes nowhere. And if you just listen to us, like, your business will go somewhere. And so it was like, I'm sure she's doing that to everybody. You know, she's very super nice to your face. And then she's talking about people behind their back. It just felt gross.
It's very manipulative. Is it's really commonplace in multi-level marketing and cults. You know, people have their roles to play. I don't know what it is about hot tubs and MLMs. It does weird things to people. We've told stories about hot tubs on this podcast before and the weird behavior that comes out when there's just a hot tub around. And I was telling you that I had an experience in a hot tub when I was on the LuLaRoe cruise. Jordan, the son of Deanne that's in LuLaRich documentary, he all of a sudden saunters up and gets in this hot tub with this entourage of people. And they're like, I'll get you a towel. I'll get you a drink. What do you need? And it was the weirdest thing. And all of a sudden, this hot tub went from me and my ex-husband being completely alone and being like, oh, quiet for once on this friggin' cruise, this cult cruise. And then all of a sudden, there's like 30 people in this hot tub. And the water's overflowing and they're splashing and hooting and hollering. And I was like, no. And we ended up getting out. And Jordan was like, oh, are we making you leave? And I was like, we just wanted a quiet experience. And they're like, oh, sorry. You know, absolutely obnoxious. And I understand people are there to have fun, but not everybody wants to have fun all the time. Like, I just wanted peace and quiet.
Right.
I'm sure you just wanted to sit in a hot tub without the water overflowing and getting splashed and like having to deal with whatever was going on.
Exactly.
It's just hot tubs have a weird power with Huns. I don't know what it
is.
I bet a lot of the listeners of this show have weird hot tub while I was in MLM stories.
Yeah.
I don't understand the pull of the hot tub. It's just the weirdest thing.
I don't either.
So let's talk about just your time in Sensi and what that looked like. How long did you last approximately from when you joined until you left?
It was approximately 2 years when I got my like final email that my account was deactivated. And that was like April, I believe, of 2022, I think.
Okay.
But I quit doing anything with it probably like December of 21. I just kind of just let it go.
And is that what the deactivation email was about? Like, hey, hun, you haven't sold anything in a while, so you're done?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I was just tired of paying $10 a month to have a website. I was tired of having to buy stuff just so I could stay active, which they changed it. It used to be like every 3 months you had to sell $200 worth of stuff in a month. Now it's every 12 months because they're such nice people.
Oh. Right. That's why.
So it took me a year of not selling anything for them to deactivate me, you know, not meeting $200 a month. So
right.
I would make like $100 sales a month here and there my last year. But that's just random people like knew that I sold it and would go to my website and buy it. I wasn't pushing it really. I was just kind of over it.
Yeah.
Because I realized that I wasn't making any money on it.
Right. Statistically, you're right there. I mean, that's yes. The average outcome is, oh no,
right.
I didn't make any money. I can understand, and maybe this is one of the reasons why I never joined. I can understand, you know, with MLMs, you have these quotas or these requirements, the pay to play, where like you said, you have to buy or sell $200 within this time frame.
Right.
Now, as a consumer, sure, yeah, I can go to a Sensi party, drop $50 to $100 and buy a warmer and all the scents that I'm going to need for the next 6 months and be fine.
Yeah.
And then when things start to dwindle or the seasons change and I want to go with warmer scents for the fall, I can reach out and say, hey, I want to throw a couple bars. And it makes sense as a consumer. But as the person that's selling this, who's having to buy these things, who's having to front load, who's having to purchase things to hit whatever is necessary, like you don't need that much wax. Me as a consumer eventually had a drawer full of wax where I was like, we don't even burn this enough. Or I'm sorry, melt.
Right?
Melt this enough to need all of these scents.
Exactly.
We had like a birthday cake one and a Christmas tree one and a pumpkin spice one and like all these flavors.
Yeah.
Just so many. And I'll tell you, my Scentsy wax was in the same drawer that we kept like, you know, like pocket candies.
Yeah.
Like when you go to restaurants and they give you all the mints, you throw them in there. And I remember like needing something because I had this weird taste in my mouth and like opening up the drawer and eating one. And I now know what Scentsy tastes like.
Yeah.
Like, they just, all of those candies, I had to throw them all away. I mean, thinking about it rationally, it does make sense that the very smelly things would sort of absorb into the edible things.
Right.
But at the time I wasn't thinking. I was like, oh, whatever. Oh yeah, I'm fully aware of what Scentsy tastes like. Yeah. Not a fan. I would not recommend. It was not. I was like, oh my God, I'm so dumb. But yeah, it is so scented and perfumed and fragranced that it literally like absorbed into the candy. So don't put your candy and your Scentsy in the same drawer. Lesson learned. But you know, even me, I was still buying more than I needed. So I could really imagine, as somebody who's in, having to hit a quota or, oh, you're going to get canceled or you need to buy this much if you're going to get your bonus shot, whatever, buying things that you don't necessarily need.
Exactly.
So how much inventory did you have on hand, like when you left, or even at the height of your Scentsy?
So currently I still have.
Currently. Okay, currently. That works too.
A year later, I still have a nightstand full of stuff and probably like 2 boxes full of stuff.
Oh my gosh.
And I'll still melt it here and there because I'm like not going to waste it.
Right.
But that's with me still melting it. I still have this much stuff left.
Yeah. Scentsy was fun. Again, if you want your house to smell nice, I remember they had like laundry stuff and we had all the laundry stuff because I wanted the laundry to smell nice. I wanted my clothes to smell good. So I had all the laundry, the washer whiffs and all of the things. I was a total, like, what do we call a fan? We're not Huns. We're like, I don't know. We're like our own front loaders on the other side, but I was like a Scentsy super fan. I loved it. I had multiple warmers. Like we said in the beginning, that's what gets you.
Right.
So what was the warmer that got you?
Honestly, I would say the Harry Potter ones when those came out, like I was pre-ordered. It was that just like, I was so excited and I was selling it at the time.
Yeah.
Honestly, because like when I signed up, it really was just because it was free to sign up. But then the longer you're in, the more brainwashed you are. And so I'm sitting here thinking, oh, these are the best. Like you can't get any warmer like this at Walmart, or, you know, this wax lasts longer than the Walmart wax. And obviously that's not true, but.
Right.
But yeah, the Harry Potter stuff, when that started coming, like that hooked me. So I could see how like, cause they have NFL warmers. They have something for everybody.
Yeah. They have like the friend's couch, like in Central Perk.
Yeah.
And the little cushions remove and you melt the wax in the couch. Like, it's very cute.
Yes.
It's very cute. Mine was the warmer that I have that's still plugged in, but I don't have it on. It's like literally just this big, like mirrored glass globe. And when you turn it on, the light like from inside makes it look like an exploding firework. It's really cool.
Yeah.
I want to say it was $60.
Yes. I remember those. Yes.
At least, if not more.
Oh, probably.
I remember having to get on a wait list on a pre-order for it with the caveat that I might not get enough to fulfill all these orders. So not only do you have to pre-order, but it's also a first come, first served list. And I will go down that list. And if somebody cancels or can't pay or whatever in the time, then we'll go down to the next person. And I was like, oh my God, I need that warmer. And I really want to say it was mostly FOMO. Because it was really cool looking and it was hard to get and there was a list. And like, if I defy all the odds and I still get the warmer, like I'm the best. Like I won.
Do you want to know how that works?
Yes, I do.
So these pre-sale lists that you would tell your consultant that you want, they can't even guarantee they can get it for you because it drops at like 3 a.m. Eastern time, which where we're at. And that's, you got to go on there at 3 a.m. in the morning and order it before all the other consultants buy it.
Why are they doing it at that time? Like that's midnight where I'm at. Why are we doing midnight releases?
They do that every single time. And then your upline's encouraging you, set your alarm for 2:45 a.m. so you can get on there to get on a wait list to get into the website. It was like, so now they're sleep depriving.
Yes, that's what I was just about to say. I was like, that's like programmable sleep deprivation. They're like, oh, you know those lists you made of all those people that prepaid or have their money ready or whatever? oh, you're going to have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and brave the thousands of other people getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning and fight your Wi-Fi and your connection and whether or not you've restarted your computer in the last 24 hours and hope that you can get at least one, if not the 20 that you have pre-sold.
And it was just like an adrenaline rush when you did get it, you know, like, oh my God, I got in there on time and got it. And then you see 10 minutes later, all these consultants posting, I didn't get it. Did anybody get an extra one? And you're like, haha, I got one. You know, like it's exciting, but it's not right.
No. See, that's exactly how it happened at LuLaRoe as well. And what we would do that for usually were like the holiday releases, you know, like the Nightmare Before Christmas leggings or the 4th of July stuff. And, you know, they post the pictures a week or so before of all the new prints that were coming out. And of course, they're really only showcasing the good prints in these photos.
Exactly.
So you get these photos and you're like, oh my God, these are incredible. I've always wanted thick pants for July. This is great. They've got popsicles on them. So yes, please. And then we would pre-order, right? And be like, I just want to know who's interested. And you have all these people like, I want some, I want some, I want some. Well, again, I'm just hoping to get leggings. I don't get to pick popsicles or fireworks. I might get hot dogs, which were literally a thing. And they weren't cute, even though total like hot dog leggings sounds amazing. I know everyone's shocked right now that they weren't adorable. They were hideous. And there was a matching hot dog shirt and you'd get horrible stuff.
Yes.
And then you can't sell it. And there's people that would pre-order and say, all I can guarantee you is that you'll get a pair of the 4th of July leggings, but I can't guarantee that you'll get a print you like. And people were so desperate for summertime leggings that they would purchase them mystery sight unseen just so they knew that they had a pair coming to them. So you'd go, okay, I've got 20 people that want leggings. I need to go in there and buy 20 leggings. Guess what? You don't get 20 leggings. You're lucky if you get, you know, 6 leggings. So then you're having to go back. Some people, and this is where it gets really dangerous and it gets into the Ponzi scheme of the MLM, is that people were selling these pre-orders on the pretense that they're going to get the leggings. And then they're using that pre-order money that they've taken from Peter to give to Paul LuLaRoe, hoping that they get the leggings. And then they don't get the leggings, or they don't get the right leggings, or they buy things, whatever. Now they've got to reimburse people for the stuff they didn't get that those people prepaid for. And this happens so much in MLM. Did you ever get into that vicious circle of taking money before actually having the product on hand?
Yes, because I had to, because I wasn't at the top making all this money, you know, so like I can't afford to spot you. And so I'd be like, well, I need your money tonight. And then I'll just refund you if I don't get it. And I felt awful. And then if they're like Venmoing or Cash Apping you, really, you're losing money, because if you need to get it out instantly, they charge you a fee and then I got to send you money back. And it's just like, it was horrible. But I, like in the mix of it, you don't see it, I guess. But yeah, I'm like, why am I taking these people money to maybe get them something? And then I have to look like the idiot and say, sorry, couldn't get it.
Right?
My company only made 10.
Yeah, while you're on that hamster wheel and you're running at full speed and everything's sort of falling into place, everything makes a lot of sense. You're like, yeah, I'll just take this extra money and then I'll buy the stuff with the money and then I'll sell it and I'll get the other money and it won't be a problem and everything will be fine. And then I'll get more customers because people will be like, oh my God, Roberta gets the best stuff and it'll be perfect. And then it doesn't happen. And you get thrown off the hamster wheel. And you either, like an overly enthused MLM hun, you either hop back on the hamster wheel or you shake it off and you go, what the hell was I just on? And then you can see it for everything that it is. And you're like, you're just hamsters running on a wheel. What are we doing?
Exactly.
And everyone else is like, you're just a hater.
Yeah.
You're just a loser. And you're like, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It happens so much.
And I'm doing all this work. Like for $2.50.
Yes.
Like, what am I doing all this? Why am I getting up at 3 a.m. to make $2.50 off of a warmer? Like, for what?
Right? Yeah, those warmers, they really, really they just, I feel like it's feast and famine, right? Like the whole month you're just selling wax and washer whiffs and whatever you've got, laundry detergent. And then a warmer comes out. And that's when everybody's like, well, I'm going to try to get that warmer and I'm going to get my waxes and I'm going to get all my thing. So it really almost feels like feast or famine. Like you're not really making a lot of sales. And then there's a new release. And if you're lucky enough to get the new release, you might make some money that'll float you through to the next month until inevitably you're like, this is a giant scam. But like I'm saying, with these warmers, the way that they get you, like they got you, is the Harry Potter.
Yeah.
It's the Disney. It's the licensing. And I think Scentsy, above all other MLMs, and I might be wrong, I'm wrong often, but for me, in my experience and what I've seen, Scentsy is like the king of partnerships. Like they partner with everybody.
Yes.
And they especially partner with Disney. Like you were saying, oh, Disney's not going to scam you. It's Disney.
Right.
And people buy these things. And the new thing that's happening is Scentsy actually has partnered with Disney World. And there's a Scentsy attraction at Disney World.
Well, that's because you can win a trip to Disney every year through Scentsy. So, you know, why not?
Can you really win a Disney trip?
That's what they give you every year is what you're working for. And then they also do cruises.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So they got the cruises and the convention, but you can also earn a Disney trip.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. So I found this article, and this is from WDW Magic, and I'll throw it in the show notes, but it's from November of 2023. And it says, Scentsy logo added to Dumbo attraction as part of, and this is the best part, Smellifants on Parade, coming to Fantasyland at the Magic Kingdom in Walt Disney World. And the article goes, says, the Scentsy logo has been added to Dumbo the Flying Elephant at Walt Disney World's Magic Kingdom. Scentsy posted these images of the updated Dumbo marquee on their Instagram. And there's just pictures. It says Dumbo the Flying Elephant. And then underneath it says presented by Scentsy in their font. It says Scentsy entered into a multi-year relationship with the Walt Disney World Resort in 2021, which included the new Smellifants on Parade at Magic Kingdom, an exhibit at the Epcot International Flower and Garden Festival, and became the official home fragrance of Walt Disney World. At Smellifants on Parade, guests entering Storybook Circus will find a casting call from Timothy Q. Mouse seeking out a whiffsistant to join Dumbo's newest act. At the ticket booth in front of Big Top Souvenirs, cast members will provide a map and a sticker sheet to guide guests in their training. Whiffsistants will... I can't even say it. Whiffsistants in training will explore Storybook Circus to find a number of Smellifant statues, each with a unique circus-inspired fragrance, popcorn being one of them. So essentially, you go to Walt Disney World. And so I've been to Disney a bunch of different times, and sometimes they'll do these events that aren't really rides, which is what this sort of sounds like. Like at Easter, they'll have these like big eggs that look like characters, and they're hidden all over the park. And so like while you're standing in line, you'd be like, oh, look, it's the Donald Egg. And you can like put a sticker. That's where the Donald Egg is on the map.
Okay.
So it's this sort of interactive thing as you walk around the park. So it seems very similar to that, but it's in one spot.
Is this free?
I would think so. I don't think anything in Disney is extra except for food and parking. I think once you buy a ticket, you get access to everything. I might be wrong though. So you go to this garden area where there's all these Smellifant statues and you're essentially sniffing them and then assigning scents to them with your like little sticker map. So it's not like a ride. It's not like Splash Mountain or whatever by Scentsy. It's just sort of this like extra thing. But the fact of the matter that an MLM successfully got their name on a Disney park attraction as like being presented by Scentsy. And I know it's just money. And I know that they do a lot with Disney. And it probably was just a big fat paycheck to Disney. But still, man, Smellifants on Parade, like a weird sniffing attraction is creepy. Am I wrong?
No. And so like, are these like Scentsy scents that you smell, I would assume?
I don't know. I don't know if they're Scentsy scents or if they're different scents.
Yeah, because if it's like orange or grape or something, then everyone would know that. But are they just assuming everybody knows what Scentsy's scents smell like?
All it said was they'll be circus themed. Is that what it said? Like circus themed.
Okay.
With assistance and training, we'll explore Storybook Circus and find a number of Smell-O-Fant statues with a unique circus-inspired fragrance. And popcorn
Like popcorn.
is one of them.
Okay.
Yeah. So, cotton candy?
So these aren't even Scentsy scents.
Like, what else do you smell at a circus that's not popcorn and cotton candy?
Right.
Like, horse poop is, I hope not. That'd be a little off-brand for Disney. But also, like, what are the scents of a circus? Peanuts, maybe?
Right. But what does that have to do with Scentsy?
Clown makeup? Like, I don't know what a circus smells like. Dirt? Hay?
Animals, yeah.
When I think of like enticing scents, like the last place I'm thinking of is the circus
Right.
with clowns and elephants. Like, it's not even in my top 20. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's more of a visual.
I can think of so many other places I'd
Right.
rather walk around and sniff than Dumbo's Circus. Apparently, I'm not the demographic. Also, I guess I can almost guarantee, though, if it wasn't Scentsy inspired, I'd be like, oh my God, have you seen that cute new Dumbo attraction where you smell the elephants? I think there's a lot of personal bias in this opinion. So don't come for me. don't come for me.
But it's not Scentsy. That's what makes no sense. So they just wanted their name in Disney World.
Yes, and then apparently Scentsy also there's a like a gift shop, and I think somebody could probably, if you're listening to this and you've seen it and you've been there and you know, because we're just speculating, email me and let me know how close we are. But I think there's like a gift shop, and there might be Scentsy like exclusive Scentsies, because I've heard that like Scentsy is the official resort fragrance. And
Okay.
that certain Scentsies are burned in certain hotels. I'm sorry, melted in certain hotels.
I think you're
So I
right.
don't know if you can buy those Scentsies that are exclusive to Walt Disney World and like as souvenirs to take home. And then who gets that money? Is that just Scentsy money? No reps are involved. So it's like
Oh, for sure.
there's no rep, like anything there. Like the pyramid scheme doesn't happen at Disney World. It's just the gateway of people going, oh, I really like this. I wonder what else they have. Because you're not shopping from a rep.
Right. But like the lady you talked to in Australia, they did it. They had a store and reps,
Right.
right?
Right.
So it could be something like that.
Possibly. Yeah.
But just kind of seems like, well, why would you, if you live in Florida, why are you going to buy from a rep if you can just go to Disney World and get it?
Right. And what about me in California? Because Disneyland hasn't announced
Oh,
anything like this.
yeah.
What if I want one of those scents? Do I have to go all the way to Florida and go to the park to get these scents? Like, can
Yeah.
these scents be bought online? Is there even a scent to buy? Or am I completely making this up? I have no idea. It's very hush hush.
We definitely sold Disney scents that would go along with the warmer, but it just seems like they just kind of wanted
Well, yeah. They're like, look, we're legitimate. Disney would never partner with a scam, right?
Exactly.
I'm like, actually, they would. See? They are.
Because they did.
Allegedly, right? It's true. So, one of the other things that you talked to me about that we didn't get to yet was you said there was a fist fight.
Oh, yes,
Now, did that
yes.
happen at the weird impromptu convention or was this at a different
Yeah.
time? Okay, so it happened back at that convention. Okay,
Yes.
in Gatlinburg.
Yes.
Tell me about the fist fight of Gatlinburg.
I was like, what kind of company is this? Like,
We
of
sell
course they're.
wax.
And we'll fight you for it. Like, so it was over, I believe, the superstar director. The one girl was sticking up for her. And of course, they were all drunk. They were drinking like a lot. So the other girl was, I guess, dancing on tables in the house and like being very provocative.
Having a good old time.
Yes, but feed people alcohol, that's what you get. And so I guess the superstar director told her to stop doing that. And she said no. So then the other girl got in a fist fight for her and started fist fighting this girl for her. And so we're all like, what is going on? Like, why are you guys allowing them to fist fight like this? And of course, the superstar director was like, oh, well, I had nothing to do with this. I didn't tell her to fight her or nothing like that. But she also wasn't trying to defuse the situation. And she just let it all happen while we were all trying to defuse the situation.
It's so strange.
Yes. And when we asked the girl, like, why did you start punching her? And she's like, well, I was sticking up for her.
But she literally was like, hey, can you stop dancing on the tables? And like, she was like, make me, bitch. Yes. And then the friend was like, I'll do it.
Yeah.
And like, what's like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, it escalates so quickly over just like, hey, don't dance on the table to like fist fighting.
Yes. And so we're all like, the cops came and everything. It was not.
The cops came?
Yes. Someone called the cops. And of course, now these two girls had a court case that they had to come back to in Tennessee.
What?
Yes, it was nuts. This is like my first time meeting all these people. And I'm like, where am I?
You're like, this is a work conference, right?
Right.
We sell smelly wax melts, right? Am I at the wrong work convention in Gatlinburg this weekend?
Yes.
What the hell?
It's like I walked into Bad Girls Club.
Right? And this is not the first time that MLM fist fights at events have led to the cops being called on people. What is happening with these women?
It was horrible. I felt so bad for the girl who got beat up. I was like, this could have been prevented. And now she has to come back. Like, we live like 5 hours from there. Like, you're going to have to drive 5 hours to go to court, and it's probably just going to get thrown out.
Wow.
It was a lot.
Yeah. What an interesting turn of events.
And, of course, they made the girl leave. Not the one that initiated the fight, but the one that was dancing on the table. She had to leave.
Right.
So.
Yeah. No, it's clear that she's the villain in this story.
Yes.
She was like, you know what we need? We need your bed, and we need you to get out of here.
Yeah, because we got people sleeping on the couch.
We have maybe 80 people in a house where people are sleeping on the floor, and we could really use the pillow space. Wow. Oh, my God. Ugh. And it's just like, you're like, okay. Like, this is, wow. How long did you stay in Cincy after the Gatlinburg incident?
For some reason, like, that really, I came home thinking, oh, I'm going to make this like a full-time thing. I was delusional.
Like, it was a great weekend for me.
Because I'm surrounded by all these people that are telling me how much money they're making in this company. And I'm like, oh, well, okay. So I guess I could do that too. I drank the Kool-Aid a little bit, but.
Wow.
But now I look back at it, I'm like, why would I want to be part of something like this?
I mean, so many things that could have gone wrong went wrong in succession over the same weekend.
Yes.
And you come home and you're like, I think I found my full-time gig, actually. This is great. Yeah. I love it.
I hate working in this office.
This is way better than a 9-to-5. Even with the hair pulling and the punching, still better than a 9-to-5.
Yeah.
Wow. So fast forward like a year or so later, you finally decide you're done selling and you just stop selling. You just stop trying.
Yes. Yeah. I just let it all go.
What was the motivation behind just stopping?
When I did my taxes and realized like I'm making negative money, you know, even though in my head, I thought I was making money because I was getting checks every month.
Right.
But checks off of the stuff I was buying.
Right.
That's where it was coming from.
It's more like a rebate at that point, right?
Yeah. It's a discount.
It's like, It's a discount in the form of a check we'll send you at a different time. It looks like you're spending $100 now, but you're only spending $70. We will send you a check for $30 next month.
And you'll pay taxes on that.
You're going to pay taxes on that? And you're like, perfect. I got $30 more to spend next month.
It's horrible.
And so because of their new policy of not needing to have monthly purchases, you just have to spend a certain amount within a calendar year. You then wake up one morning to an email from Sensi that says what?
It pretty much just said, we've terminated your account, but it's free to rejoin.
It's free to rejoin.
Yeah. So if you just want to come back at any time, just click this email. Like, no thanks.
Was there any like emails preempting that? Like, hey, if you don't sell something within a month, you're going to get terminated. If you don't sell something within the week. Or was it really out of the blue? Or was it something that you were expecting to happen?
I knew it was going to happen because I was not trying. And so I just didn't know when, because I wasn't kind of keeping track when the last time I sold $200 in a month was. I was just kind of done with it at that point anyway. So I was just kind of like, I'll just let it go.
So it wasn't even 200 in the year. It had to be 200 in a single month, one time in 1 year's time.
Right. So like if I made $200 in January, then I have till next January to make $200 in a month again.
Okay. But if you made $100 in January and $100 in February, that wouldn't count.
No.
It'd have to be $200 within 1 month.
Yeah.
And when you're saying, based on the Sensi that's in your side table.
Yeah.
That you could spend $200 worth of Sensi and maintain your discount.
Right.
You just have to make one $200 purchase a year.
Yeah. Or like my mom and friends to buy stuff for me.
Right. You're like, this is the month if you want to buy something. This is the month I have to. Okay. That's interesting how they do that. I'm very curious because so many MLMs run slightly different. And that's right. When people are like, well, my MLM is different. We only have to sell X amount or we can do it like this.
Yeah.
And so it's always very interesting to see like the different like intricacies of what each MLM has.
Yes.
But yeah, it's all the same game.
It is.
I'm just interested, like, which Monopoly rules we're playing with today kind of thing. Like, what are we playing? So that's interesting that it's just $200 within 1 month within the calendar year to maintain. And you said it costs like $99 to join.
Yeah.
And then how much was it a month? $10 a month?
It was like $10, yeah, for a website.
For your back office and your website. Yeah.
But then you also have to buy your samples, like your little...
Oh.
Cups for people to smell at parties. And those change every 6 months.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to buy those every 6 months because you got to get the new scents. Then you got to carry. I bought all the stuff you would need for a party. I was sending out goodie bags every month to people that bought something from me. I was doing like building these gift baskets and people would pay a certain amount of money for them. And then I would ship those out to them. So then you have your shipping costs. It was just a lot.
Well, here's the thing. If you were not to buy any samples and you were just to buy the minimum to stay active with your website for the whole entire year, you're spending $419 because you've got $120 because it's $10 a month. You've got the $99 to join and you have the $200
right
that you need to be able to maintain if you spent all that money. You know, if you sell some, then that number goes down. But if you're the one having to make this purchase, you're spending $419 a year minimum
right
to maintain your business.
And make no profit.
And make no profit. Or any profit you make, you put right back in because you're like,
oh, yeah.
And like you're saying, you're like, oh, I got checks. I knew that I was making money. But it's like when you get your bank statement and you're like, oh, look at all the money I put in. You're like, oh, but look at all the money I spent too. Never mind.
Exactly.
It's an in and an out. And I think a lot of times where we go wrong because nobody in the MLM tells us to look at the out. They just tell us to look at the in. Look at all the money you're making. You got another check. How much? $600. Oh my God. That's going to help so much. That's so good. You're like,
oh yeah.
Well, I spent $419 to get it.
Yeah.
So is it really such a great check?
And every check they'd post, oh, it's payday. What are you guys going to do with it? And, you know, all these people are lying. Oh, I'm going to pay for my kids' soccer. No, you're not. Like, you're not doing that.
No, they're not. It's a very sneaky thing, the numbers in an MLM and how people can twist them. I mean, I've reverse engineered numbers before and been like, you're lying, and see people twisting the numbers to make it look good. And I'm like, but you're leaving out parts, like you're not telling the whole story here. And so it's very interesting to see kind of like how Scentsy does their thing. Well, so you leave, and when did you discover the anti-MLM movement?
It was probably like a month or two before I got like deactivated.
Okay. You're like, aha.
So I was technically still in it, but the weird thing is, like, I knew MLMs were bad, but I thought Scentsy was different because the way, you only have to make it once a month, not every 3 months, or, you know, like, I am making money. I can just sell it. I don't have to have a team is what I'm thinking in my head, but 25% of $6 wax ain't nothing. So you need a team.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of wax you'd have to sell to even make minimum wage.
Right.
If you're only making 25% of $6.
And the amount of hours you put into it, they're like, well, you can just do these Facebook posts that automatically post for you.
But you still have to set them up.
But it would take me like 5 hours to do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was so time consuming. And then people reaching out to you at all hours of the day, like.
Obnoxious.
Yes. I still get people that ask me, like, do you still sell? I'm like, no, and don't buy it.
Well, now you'll have this episode to send them. You'll be like, don't buy it, and here's why.
Exactly.
Send. You want to know what I really think?
Yes.
So how's life being outside of Scentsy? How are you doing now?
It's good. I just work a normal job. I actually enjoy my job now. I'm not buying from MLMs.
That blasphemous 9-to-5.
Yeah. So, like, I work for the UPS store. And so I see a lot of MLMs shipping their stuff out, which is pretty funny. Like, it just irks me. I'm like, I don't even want to put it back there for them to pick up. But I have to.
Right? You're like, return to sender.
Yeah.
So, like, don't go to that UPS store. Everything gets returned to sender there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just kidding. He's a professional. It doesn't do that.
I would never.
That's wow. That is interesting. I've always been curious with people that work in like shipping like that, like domestic shipping, like something I would send in, you know, like the post office or the UPS store or something, and how much MLM comes through and how obvious it is, and just very interesting.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have a lot of people that do their returns to the MLM companies as well.
Oh, I like to hear that.
Yeah. So that's interesting too, yeah, because I'll be like, oh, like they just keep sending it to me every month. And I'm like, yeah, that's because you didn't read the fine print.
That happened to me. I had a friend who I was trying to support, yada, yada, yada. You guys all know how that works. And she was selling an MLM I've never talked about before, but I actually had somebody recently ask me if I would look into it. And I was like, oh, the time has come. Because I said I wouldn't talk about MLMs my friends were in unless random people just randomly brought it up. And I'm like, well, they ask. Because I don't want to ever feel like anybody I care about is a target. But the company is called the Yoli Better Body System.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know. Stupid name check. And and yeah, I joined it. It was like alkaline, right? It like makes everything alkaline.
Oh, yeah.
And then the pitch, and it was like right after my dad had passed away from cancer. And the pitch was like, cancer can't survive in an alkaline body. And I was like, where do I sign? I don't think she intentionally like went after me like that. I think it really came from like, I want to help you the way it helped me kind of way. Cause her mother right. also had cancer and her mother beat cancer. My dad didn't. I was stuck on an auto ship I could not get out of.
Oh my God.
And every month that little green box showed up with my like kiwi strawberry, which is literally my least favorite flavor aside from blue raspberry, my least favorite flavor. And it kept coming and I couldn't get rid of it. And I would like the boxes would come and I would panic and I would hide them because I didn't want like my ex-husband to be like, more Yoli Better Body System. Cause I'm like, I'm trying to get out of this. And I ended up selling like all of it on eBay.
Oh, that's good.
And I think even after my whole like eBay stint, like I found another green box of this stupid stuff. Someone I was like, God, are you friggin' kidding me? It's like everywhere. Yoli Better Body System. There might be, if you did Yoli and you want to talk to me, because I'm not going to ask my friend. I don't think she does it, but I don't want to.
Yeah.
I'm not going to reach out to my friends. They can reach out to me if they hear this and go, I'm ready. But if you, if anybody did Yoli, I'm interested in talking about that because I do have, it was the auto ship. Them and Modere were really obnoxious with their auto ship, but I did get out of the Modere one.
Yeah.
So I understand people coming into the UPS store and being like, send this back. I don't want it.
Yes.
Keeps coming to my house.
A lot of it's like those protein powders and like the health stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah. But I did get suckered in after Scentsy. I did buy a box of that Prove It stuff. And I didn't know that it was an MLM stuff. Luckily, it's still closed on my table and I didn't drink any of it. But I found out it was an MLM, like, because she accidentally sent the message to me, like, oh, I think once he tries it, he'll definitely sell it. And I'm like,
oh, no.
What are you talking about? She's like, oh, I didn't mean to send that to you. And I'm like, oh, this is an MLM. And so I spent $100 and it just sits on my coffee table, never opened, because I'm like, what do I do with this?
Jesus. Get it bronze. Oh, man. Wow. You think, like, she sent you the wrong message.
Yes.
And it was super predatory. It wasn't even like, I just got a new sale. I hope he enjoys it. She's like, he'll definitely buy into this scam.
Yeah.
So nefarious.
Right. Because she lost so much weight, I was like, oh, what are you doing for it? You know? And then she was like, oh, I just drink this up.
Yeah. I don't trust Prove It.
No.
I don't trust the vitamins. I don't trust any MLM, but I don't trust the ones where you ingest things.
Right.
Because I don't think it's safe. I don't know what is in that and I don't want to put it in my body. I have consumed things from It Works and Modere and Yoli. And since then have had issues. Like I had to have my gallbladder removed. I've had like issues with like my skin after using like unique skincare and things like that. So I've had too many bad experiences for the things that you like put on and in your body.
Right.
That I'm just,
I don't blame you.
If I had to say the MLM to really stay away from, it would be those.
Yeah.
And it's not as dangerous as leggings or lipstick the way that like health and wellness is.
But right.
I think all of them, I hate all of them.
Yes.
Wow. Well, Curtis, thank you so much for coming on the show and telling it. Seriously, you're hilarious.
Thank you.
Some good times. This might have been, and this is what's great. You know, like I tell, like we've had a couple heavy episodes lately. And so for me to have an episode where you and I just sit on here and just like laugh and make jokes and like poke fun at ourselves, it's much needed. This was a much needed break between the really scary, heavy stuff. So thank you for just that.
Of course.
You know, just if nothing else, that is just so needed. Are you ready to do some rapid fire questions?
Of course.
Okay. Curtis, give me one word that encompasses how you feel about multi-level marketing.
Gross.
Give me a piece of advice to somebody who wants to join an MLM.
Talk to someone that has already been in one before.
Yeah.
And ask them why they left.
Ooh, that's the secondary necessary question. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Why did you leave?
Yeah.
What is the worst MLM in your opinion?
Oh, gosh. That's so tough because they're all gross and bad. Prove It's pretty bad after I looked into it.
Yeah, not a fan. What was the hardest lesson you learned while being in MLM?
Sometimes you don't have to always be so trusting, and it's okay to like follow your gut.
And give me a positive takeaway from your time in MLM.
I met some really cool people, and I really learned a lot about like myself, and I learned the life lesson of never to join one again.
That's a pretty positive takeaway. Never do this again.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you so much. This was a delight.
Yes, it was. I'm so happy to finally meet you.
Thank you so much for listening to Life After MLM. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share. And follow us on social media at Life After MLM Podcast or visit our website at lifeaftermlmpod.com. And don't forget to check out our Patreon for exclusive content and join the community on Discord. You can find all of the links to follow in our show notes. Life After MLM is produced by Roberta Blevins. Audio editing is done by the lovely Kayla Craven. Video editing by the indescribable RK Gold. And Michelle Carpenter is our triple emerald princess of robots. If you have a story about a cult, fraud, scam, or MLM and want to be on the show, please hit us up. We would love to help you tell your story and start your healing journey in life after MLM. See you next time, Hunts.